It's more than just another radio show. It's a beacon of truth. Fasten your seatbelt and find out why they call Deacon Harold Burke Sivers the Dynamic Deacon. Join Deacon Harold for a fast-paced hour that sheds encouraging light on today's culture. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
It is a very special Beacon of Truth. Hope you are doing well this week. I am H. McKay, always loving it when we get a chance to enjoy while the deacon is in travel mode. We also get a chance to take you on the road to some of these live events and really spanning decades that he's been doing these. So lots to learn from him, lots of opportunities to excite us when we get a chance to see him live. So today we are talking about swimming upstream, and this is from one of his live talks in Sydney, Australia at the Croatian Catholic Center on today's Beacon of Truth.
In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. These 12 Jesus sent out, charging them, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and preach as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, in the days before mobile phones and GPS, men were often reluctant to ask for directions. You remember the scenario, you're driving in the car and you think you know where you're going and you're a little bit lost, but you're determined. And your wife says, maybe we should stop and ask for directions. You go, no, I know what I'm doing. How dare she question my sense of direction? And eventually, you would have to ask someone for directions because you're getting so far behind in your schedule. And so you stop and ask. But today, due to technology, those days of getting lost are gone forever. It's virtually impossible to be lost. However, a GPS may be able to get you from Sydney to Perth, but no GPS in the world will get you from earth to heaven. What Jesus says in the gospel is true of many men today. He says that we are troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. When a man would rather spend time looking at porn than having any meaningful relationship with his wife and children, he is lost. When a man approaches dating as a conquest, where the primary goal is to hit it and quit it, he is lost. When a man shows up to Mass only because his wife dragged him there, he is lost. When a man who is angry hurts a woman physically or emotionally, spiritually, passing on a legacy of trauma and abuse to his children, he is lost. Jesus has called men to be leaders in our families, the church, and the culture. We are laborers sent into the field to reap an abundant harvest of souls for Christ, using the navigational tools of our Catholic faith to lead others to conversion, transformation, and deeper relationship with Jesus. In short, to help our brothers find their way back to the Father in heaven. Isaiah says in chapter 6, verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Matthew chapter 28, 19, Jesus says to his apostles, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are sent by Christ, which means we are not only called to preach the gospel, but above all to live the gospel, by setting an example for those whom we are called to serve. If the lost see us living our Catholic faith with fidelity and joy, then we can be sure that our witness will be worth more than 1,000 words. And that we will be the catalyst used by God himself to bring others into deep relationship with him, to bring others back in the right direction. Because right now we lost in this culture. We don't know who men are. We don't know who women are. We don't know what marriage is. We're lost. The culture of woke. They're the ones that are asleep. We're the ones that are awake. We're not asleep. They are. We don't need to be woke. They do. And who's going to do it? We can't wait for our bishops. Much as we love our bishops and love our leaders in the church, amen. We love and respect them. We can't wait for them to act. We have to do it. That's our job as men. When God created us, he put us in the garden. It says to till and to keep it. Abad and shamar in Hebrew means to serve, protect, and defend. That's our mission and our calling and our vocation. Serve, protect, and defend everything that is entrusted to us. Our wives, our children, the church, and this culture is entrusted to us. Why? Because God has given us men. He has allowed us to borrow his sacred name, Father. All of us are fathers. Even the young men here are not married. We're all spiritual fathers. We all have an obligation and responsibility because God has allowed us to borrow his sacred name. And you better believe that we will be held accountable to God of how we've used his name as fathers, as husbands, as priests, as men. This culture needs a witness right now. And we cannot be afraid to stand up and to show this culture the power of God, the love of God, the strength of God. That's why we were created. That's why we're here. Now, each of us have been called to do it in a different way. Some men are businessmen. Some men are physicians. Some men just work with their hands. Doesn't matter what you were given. Each of us have been given us talents. Don't be that guy. When you stand before God, and you say, I was afraid to use what you gave me, Lord, so I just buried it in the ground. No, God's going to say, wait a minute. I made an investment in you as a man. Where's my 10-fold, 50-fold, 100-fold return on the investment I made in you? You see the investment I made in you on that cross? I did that. What did you do for me? How did you glorify my name before this world? As Paul says, this crooked and depraved generation. Or as Jesus himself says in Mark's gospel, this adulterous and sinful generation. How did you bear witness to me? Or did you just crawl under the rock of pornography or anger or laziness because you didn't want to be the man that I created you to be? Don't be that guy. But before any of that can happen, we have to dethrone the sin of pride in our own lives. The sooner we begin to appreciate the great gift we've been given, that mission of serving, protecting, and defending, the faster we will arrive at a civilization of love and a culture of life. When we are sent to help our brothers and sisters listen to the voice of God with the ear of their hearts and to listen with the obedience of faith, that's what true freedom is all about. That's what truth is all about. Because what is truth? It's not an idea. It's a person. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus says the truth will set you free. What's freedom? Authentic freedom is not being able to do whatever you want. Freedom is rooted in the obedience of faith. It's listening to the voice of God and allowing that voice to change your life. Because when your wants, your needs, your hopes, your desires, and your dreams, when your will is one with God's will, your will and God's will are one, now you are truly free. Because now you're free to become the man who God created you to be. That's true freedom.
Learning to swim upstream today from Deacon Harold Burke Sivers in a very special edition of today's show as we are in Sydney, Australia at the Croatian Catholic Center, and we'll continue our topic coming up next on Beacon of Truth.
Welcome back to Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Well, when the deacon travels, we like to bring you his live events, and that way we can learn a little more and take things to a more dynamic level with each and every show. I am Ace McKay, glad to bring you today to Sydney, Australia, to the Croatian Catholic Center. Before we get back into today's topic, we want to remind you that social platforms is where we are hanging out. So if you're on Spotify or you've got friends who are looking to connect deeper into their Catholic walk and really with the programs here at EWTN Radio, we've got our podcast available as well as streaming whenever you get some time. And of course, find us through your Spotify app when you search EWTN Radio. We're going to continue with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers live from Sydney, Australia at the Croatian Catholic Center, talking about swimming upstream today on Beacon of Truth.
And where does that freedom come from? The heart. We all know the story. Samuel is sent to the house of Jesse to anoint the new future king of Israel, because Saul, the first king, is not doing the job that God needs him to do. So he sends it to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem, Bethlehem, the house of bread, right? Bethlehem, where Jesus is born. Remember, Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. He was born in the town, the house of bread, the city of David. So Jesse has 8 sons, but when Samuel comes, he only lines up 7 of his sons, Eliab, Abinadab, Shema, and 4 other sons. And he goes to the first son. He looks at him, well, look at this guy, tall, handsome, not short and dumpy like me. Right? This guy, tall, handsome, this guy looks like a king. And he goes to pour the oil of anointing on him. The Lord says, nope, not him. And Samuel's confused. This guy looks like a king. I have the oil. There's Jesse. I'm in the right house. What's the problem? And what does the Lord say to him? Do not look on the height of his appearance or his stature, because I've rejected him. Because the Lord sees, not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart. God doesn't care what you look like on the outside. God doesn't care what you do for a living. The guy who makes $600 million is going to be judged the same way the guy who makes $20,000. God doesn't care about your bank account, your portfolio. God cares about what kind of heart you have as a man. That's what you're going to be judged on. The heart is the seat of the will. The heart is the place where your desire for God lives inside of you. That's where God can touch you. That's where God can move you and change your life, is in your heart. So you have to ask yourself, can God see his reflection when he looks at me? Can God see himself when he looks into my heart? That's the question we need to ask ourselves, men. Before we can be sent out to do the work that God has called us to do, we have to be right with God ourselves. Because we can't give what we don't have ourselves. So to put this all in context, I want to just go through one of my favorite pericopes, or favorite stories from the Old Testament. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. 1 Kings chapter 18, starting at verse 17. Now, again, we all know the story here. Ahab saw Elijah coming toward him. Ahab, again, not the best king ever in Israel. "It is you, you troubler of Israel." And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now, therefore, send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." So Elijah is sent as a representative from God to men who don't want to hear what he has to say. How many of us have been in that position? We're trying to share the faith of Jesus Christ with people who don't want to hear what we have to say. We are sent to be visible representatives of Jesus Christ who are unapologetic about being identified with him. Know what that means? We have to bear witness to it. Now, as a permanent deacon in the Catholic Church, we typically don't wear clericals like the priests do, you know, with the collars and things. We typically don't wear. I usually dress like this. But I always wear this. On the plane, off the plane, I fly 300,000 kilometers a year. I'm on planes all the time. I wear my crucifix, my miraculous medal. I ain't embarrassed or ashamed of my faith. One time I was getting on a plane. The woman was putting her luggage up in the bin. I was waiting patiently. And she turns and looks at me. She goes, "That offends me." Now, at first, I thought it because I was black. I'm like, it don't come off. I said, "What offends you?" She said, "That." "This?" "Yes." "Oh, then don't look." What'd she expect me to? "Oh, I'm sorry you're so offended. Let me hide it from you." Give me a break. But we always capitulate to the culture as Catholics. Why do we do that? You know, I've been in, this is my eighth time to Australia. I've been on tour for 3 weeks. And in Australia for the past week. Toowoomba, is that it? Toowoomba, Brisbane, Melbourne, and here. And every place I go, we've heard about transgender problems in the schools. I didn't even talk about it in some of the talks, and it came up during the Q&A. So why are we allowed? See, why are we doing that in the Catholic schools? Why? You think the Muslims would accept that in their school? Nope. Then why do we do it? I don't understand. Charbel and I have been to 10 countries together, including countries under Sharia law. You think the Muslims, the Christians are here. Let's dumb down our faith. Let's stop praying the Quran. Let's stop praying 5 times a day because the Christians are here. They won't do that. Then why do we do it? It's ridiculous. I tell them, take your kids out of schools and the public school, because all you're paying for is a very expensive public school. When you send them to a so-called Catholic school that's not teaching the Catholic faith, why are you wasting your money? We have to stand up. Oh, and you can stand up. I tell you this right now. In my state, I live in Oregon in the United States. The governor tried to make the mask mandates permanent. The Catholics got together with the Protestants. We got together, even some of the Muslims said, and we stood up and said, "Nope, you're not doing that." And her own party said, okay, back off. And it didn't happen because we stood up. So yes, it seems like a juggernaut. Like, oh my goodness, how can we even have a chance? Look at Elijah, 450-1. He was outnumbered 450-1. And he wasn't concerned because he knew God fights for him. He knew God was with him. Same thing with us, man. It seems overwhelming, but we have to have the confidence of Elijah. We know that God fights with us and for us. We need men today who are so committed and confident in God that we don't mind being outnumbered, because we understand that once the true God is part of the equation, the numbers start to shift. So Ahab sent for all the people of Israel. They gathered around the prophet at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to the people and said, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. Pick one." And the people did not answer him a word. Many men who are regular churchgoers don't even care to know the purpose of God in their lives because they're so distracted with the purposes of the culture. Oh, they can tell you the score from last night's rugby game or Australian rules football game. They can tell you all the players. They can't even name you 5 of the 10 commandments. We worry about things that in the end don't even matter. And we don't worry about the things or concern ourselves with the things that are most important for being true men of God. If you're living in the presence of the culture driven by your own desires and designs, then we aren't going to surrender. We're going to surrender to sinful tendencies that distract us from our purpose in God. Elijah is not concerned about being politically correct, so he could call the people out. "You have brought this about because of your pursuit of idolatry." What we are experiencing today in our culture is God saying, "You don't want a relationship with me? Fine. Let me get out of the way and show you what life looks like without me." That's what we're seeing in our culture today. A godless society. A society that's literally trying to cut God out of every aspect of life. And we can't let that happen. The culture doesn't determine what is and what isn't. We do, because we're followers of God. Elijah says, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? Are you going to vacillate between saying you love God on Sunday, but worship another God on Monday? Is that where we are now?" Remember, it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 3:15, "I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spew you out of my mouth." Elijah's saying, pick one. You're going to worship God or worship the Baal? You're trying to find something in the middle. You're lukewarm, and I will vomit you out of my mouth. The people were silent. Why couldn't they answer him? They weren't ready to commit. "Well, let me go to church on Sunday. Let me get my hour in and then leave me alone." Yet they're searching for something deeper and more meaningful in their life. But it can't happen if they don't let God in. That's why meetings like this are so important. We need each other. We can't do this by ourselves. Even Jesus needed help carrying his cross. What makes me think we could do this by ourselves? We have to become a band of brothers to stand up against the onslaught of the culture.
Great challenging words. They call him Dynamic Deacon for a reason. So as we get fired up into our own faith and walk with God, we're going to continue our topic today, swimming upstream, from Sydney, Australia at the Croatian Catholic Center. We'll continue that and wrap things up next on Beacon of Truth.
Welcome back to Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers.
Another special edition of Beacon of Truth means Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers on the road and also bringing you these dynamic moments so that when you see him live in the coming weeks and months throughout the year, you always know that you're getting this fire, this kind of passion that just only Deacon Harold brings to the table. So looking forward to more as we are teaching today on the topic of swimming upstream. Before we get back into things, we want to remind you that Stories from the Heart is another way to ignite our passion for God and to deepen our Catholic faith. And it's all because of great stories. Sandra McDivitt bringing that to us Sunday mornings at 9:15 Eastern on EWTN Radio. If you're looking for inspirational stories, ones that really span the test of time, it is something that you can connect with in your own personal journey with God. And that's Stories from the Heart, Sunday morning, 9:15 Eastern on EWTN Radio. More from the Dynamic Deacon as we continue our special edition on swimming upstream from Sydney, Australia at the Croatian Catholic Center on today's Beacon of Truth.
God is looking for men who, even though outnumbered, are willing to take a stand, even when your own family members, friends, and co-workers oppose you, even when it means you will be unpopular. Because what's the message of Christ? Everybody says, well, Jesus says, love one another. They want to do everything to love. What about Matthew 10? Jesus says, do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. Of his own household. And what did we hear in the gospel not too long ago? If you love father and mother more than me, you are not worthy of me. If you love brother and sister more than me, you are not worthy of me. Even when we have to stand up about what's going on in our own families, even if we have to separate ourselves from cousins and stuff that, oh, what are you doing that for? Why, you a Jesus freak. Why? They want to capitulate to the culture. You know, where I live in the United States, I live in the Pacific Northwest. I grew up in the city, but now I live in the air, mountains and lakes and rivers. So over the past few years, I've been watching rivers. And I noticed that when the snow melts and the river runs high and fast, and I look at what's in the river flowing down, a lot of dead things, branches, logs, even sometimes moose or an elk, animals. But what's coming up the other way? Salmon. They come upstream, fight against the current to do what? To lay their eggs. They fight against the current for life. We have to be the salmon. We have to be the ones to fight upstream against this culture of death to bring the life-giving power of God. That's what we're charged with as men. Jesus says, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil falsely against you on my account. This means that when we live our faith every day, we will be persecuted and mocked and scorned and ridiculed, just as Jesus was when he went to the cross. Life is too short for us to worry about what other people think. We are sent by God to be saints, to live our life with courage and conviction in this time and in this place, and to put all of our trust in God. Then Elijah says to the people, okay, look, let's do this. Let's take two bulls. You take one, I'll take one. We'll cut it up. We'll put it on the altar. You call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And whichever God answers with fire, that's the true God. And so the people said, okay, we'll do that. So they set everything up. And then the Baal, the worshipers of Baal went first. They said they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice and no one answered. And they limped about the altar which they had made. So a man's job is to communicate the truth of the gospel in his sphere of influence, starting with his family. Remember Joshua? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God is saying, if you're going to be the man that I created you to be, you need to live by divine revelation and not by reason alone apart from me. In other words, we have to reach the head and the heart, both. But men have become so secularized that we're not able to function in the way that God needs us to. We've allowed this culture to turn us into zombies, limping about the altar of Baal that we have created for ourselves. A man, a father, is a conduit that God the Father uses to flow from himself to the family of God, the church, and the culture. This is why we are created first by God. Right? We're created first before the woman, not because we're better than them, because God has given us the mission to serve and protect everything that comes under us. This is great. So now, they're still dancing around, calling upon Baal, save us, Baal, send the fire. So they were doing this about noontime. Elijah says, cry louder, for he's a god. Maybe he's musing, or maybe he's gone aside, or maybe he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened, huh? He's asleep and must be awakened, huh? The god of Baal, remember? They're the ones that need to be woke. And they cried out, and what did they do? They cut themselves, as was their custom. And the blood gushed out from them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one heeded. So what's going on here? First of all, he's just mocking them. I love that. I love when we mock this culture out here. They're the ones that are trying to say we're stupid. We're the ones that don't know anything. They're the idiots. So we should revel in mocking this culture. And notice what it says. It says that they cut themselves and the blood began to gush out. Their own blood doesn't redeem. It's the blood of the Lamb that redeems. Christ's pierced side opened a floodgate of divine mercy. So there, they cut themselves and their blood flowed and nothing happened. Jesus was pierced. His blood flowed, which brought salvation to the world. It said that they started cutting themselves at midday. Midday was the time of Jesus' crucifixion. They said they did this until the time of the offering of the oblation. At the time that Jesus was on the cross at 3 o'clock, that was a time that the lambs were slaughtered for the evening sacrifice. No voice, no one answered from the Baals. But on the cross, the soldier says, truly, this was the Son of God. Then Elijah said to the people, all right, enough. Gather around. Watch this. So the first thing he did, he repaired the altar that they tore down. The altar that was used for the worship of God. So he rebuilt the pillars, the 12 pillars represent the 12 tribes of Israel, fixed the altar, laid the wood on it, laid the bull animal on it. Now he's ready, but not quite yet. He says, he put the wood in order, cut the bull into pieces and laid it on the wood. Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. So he builds a trench around. Then he says, 4 huge jars and dump it on there. Okay, they did. Do it again. Do it a third time. Imagine these people going, this guy's insane. Nothing happened when our wood was dry. Now, 3 times, in fact, so much water was there, it filled up the trench that was around the altar. There's no way that a fire could ever consume anything like that. But Jeremiah says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in his God. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. God, we are the roots, men. That God is that saving stream of life that flowed from his side, that we receive at every holy sacrifice of the Mass. We become those roots that are sent out. And we don't have to, sent out to do what? To spread that same life-giving stream to our church, to our families, and to our culture. So we can't be afraid when it's too hot. We don't have to worry about that, because God is protecting us. We have to help others understand that God has a divine plan and a divine purpose for them. Our growth doesn't come just because we're successful by earthly standards. We have to be in sync with God. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, David, Solomon. God was able to do amazing things through them because when they were in sync with God. Now, when they weren't in sync with God, bad things happened. Solomon, wisest king in the history of Israel, but he liked the ladies too much, and he started worshiping other gods. David, the greatest king in the history of Israel. Actually, the apostle says he's a man after God's own heart. But remember Bathsheba. He was a murderer and an adulterer, and God was still able to use him. So no excuse, men. No excuse why God can't use you with the gifts and the talents that you have right now for his glory. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Worry about what God is doing in you. And we all have to have men in our lives that help us. Thanks be to God, I have some men, including Charbel. Charbel has not just been a business colleague of mine for the past 11 years, but he's also become a good friend. And we need men like that in our lives. We need men that will push us and challenge us. Another man in my life is Father Donald Calloway. We're close friends. We text each other all the time because we need to support each other. I was just sharing that I had a speaking engagement. I got blasted because I was unafraid to speak the truth in love, lovingly. Ooh, but I got some of the most vile, hurtful emails I've ever received in 20 years ordained as a deacon. But that's gonna, you know, most of the emails I get are very positive, but every once in a while you'll get ones that just, I'm not gonna lie, it hurts when you get stuff like that. I'm not gonna lie. But I have men that'll help put things in perspective. Deacon, just keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about them. You notice how sometimes we focus on the negative? All the positive stuff is going on, but we focus ourselves on the negative. That's why we have to have other men in our lives. Father Calloway and Charbel and the other men in my life helped me to see, don't worry about that stuff. You keep moving forward in faith. We are the leaders sent to teach this culture about justice and righteousness. So if you look at the cross, justice is the equitable treatment of man, horizontal. Righteousness is the right relationship we have with God, the vertical. Right? So it has to be both, justice and righteousness. This is what we're called to teach this culture as men. Equitable treatment of man, right relationship with God. That relationship, like the cross, frees us from our enslavement to sin and begins to bring healing in our own lives so we can bring healing to others. Justice is about strong men working with weaker men. The faith-filled man is stronger because he's able to bear more weight. The nature of a foundation is not how attractive it is, but how much weight it can hold. Right? So when you build a foundation, I don't know much about construction, but I know before you build something, you have to lay a foundation. And the taller the building, the deeper the foundation is. And no one's going to see the foundation. Foundation's not pretty. What they're going to see is that building. But we have to be the foundation for other men. We have to be that strong foundation upon weaker men who are learning about the faith or coming into the faith or are struggling in their lives. They can build on us. They can build on top of us. Because we are the strong foundation in our faith. We are the ones who are taking what we receive in word and sacrament and living it out in the culture every day. We are the ones that are not afraid to stand up against the Baals of this world. And men need to see that. They need to see our strength. They need to see us living the power of God's love, not afraid. He rebuilt the altar. Now, what do we do with the altar? We sacrifice. Why do we make sacrifice? To deal with sin. They didn't want to deal with the spiritual reality of their lives because of the Baals. Let them do whatever they wanted. That's this culture. I'm free to do whatever I want, however I want, whenever I want, to whomever I want. That's not freedom. That's slavery. Because the more you do what you want, what are you giving into? Your passions, your desires. They're not from God, because the center of your life is now yourself. The center of your life is now pleasure. Pleasure is now your God. I spoke to a group of 17 to 18 year olds last night, like a private little meeting. We had pizza and sushi and stuff. And I asked, I said, it's open floor. Ask me anything you want. Now, these are young men. Their last year of high school. They said they're getting ready to take HSE. So, right? They're preparing for all of that. They get ready to move. Now, these are young men now. They're going to that next level. And they had a chance to sit down with me, ask me anything they want. So I thought I was going to get questions about, you know, Protestantism, papacy, and, you know, like apologetics or questions about the faith. I said, any topic you want. And what they wanted to spend almost all the time talking about was relationships, dating, sex, porn. So I could see what was on these young men's hearts. See, so what was I doing? I was being that foundation, and I was giving them, right? Their foundation. So I'm helping to, they're building on top. I said, here is how a real man acts. Here is how a real man loves. Here is how a real man respects a woman. They needed to hear the truth in love. And we have to be those men for the other men out there that need to hear that message. Not just hear it, but see it being lived out. Our example is more powerful than anything that could come out of our mouths. So what did Elijah do? He repaired the altar, reminding the people that this is the altar upon which the blood will be shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And so we are sent to help others rebuild the altar of their lives. Whether it's alcohol, drugs, porn, anger. You know the anger I'm talking about. We want to punch your wife in the face and you stop yourself. You go, ooh, where did that come from? Because you're dealing with stuff, or actually you're not dealing with stuff. That's why it's coming out like that. That's how the devil's going to get you. But what do we have? We have the Spirit. Corinthians, Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who possess the Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. We don't think or act like anyone else out there. We are followers of Jesus. At least we say we are. We say it comes out of our mouth, but are we living it? Do we really mean it? Now, I'm confident because you guys are here. You meet every month, and you're here, and you make that commitment early on a Sunday morning. That's a great first step. If you don't go out there and show people Jesus and to help each other do that. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to help support you guys. Now, just to wrap it up here. Jesus came to destroy the weakness of sin within us. For he tells us that the light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than light. But he who does what is true comes to the light. You know, when I was growing up in our house, we were poor and we had roaches. I don't know if you have roaches here, right? So the thing is, sometimes you walk into the kitchen, you turn on the light, and the roaches, poof, they run to the nearest corner, under the stove, in the corner, right? To evade the light. We're the light that needs to shine in the darkness of the culture. All those roaches out there, they're afraid of the light. And we can't be afraid to shine the light of Christ. Yeah, they're running into the corners. And that's where we need to meet them. That's where we need to bring the light of Christ to them. They prefer darkness rather than light. But once Christ enters a person's life, especially a person who is lost, they become a sign and a witness of the goodness and beauty of faith through their encounter with the living God. They fell on their faces and said, "The Lord is God. The Lord is God." My brothers, we are sent by God to be light, recognizing that each of us has our own struggles, that we are all works in progress, but that does not stop God from working in and through us, despite our sinfulness, just like David, just like Solomon, just like all the other weak men. Peter, the first pope, who denied Jesus 3 times because he was scared. And perfect love casts out all fear. We have to love more than be afraid. And I end with this, my brothers. What happens when we become that light in the life of others? Deacon Harold, you might not remember me, but at a Fullness of Truth convention, I'm a 44-year-old man who was lost in so many ways. I heard you speak, and you moved me in a way that I never thought I could be moved. It was as if you knew my story. I didn't know that God has the ability to speak directly into your heart. The Holy Spirit spoke through you to me in a way that was so real, it was like seeing a movie or reading a book. I can honestly say that I've seen my life through a different set of eyes. My beautiful wife continued to pray for me, and by the grace of our Lord, answered her prayers. Here I am trying to discern what it is that God is calling me to be. I just want to thank you for letting the Holy Spirit work through you and give God's people hope to know what true love really is. That's all of us. This is not some Deacon Harold thing. Every single one of us is called to this mission. I end with this, the words of our Lord in John 17. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you did send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, so that the world may believe it is you who have sent me. How are people going to believe in God if we don't show them, man? If we don't witness to them? So let us do what we are called to do. Serve, protect, and defend. everyone that has been entrusted to our care. Let us listen to the voice of God and allow that voice to change our lives.
Wrapping up our topic today on swimming upstream. If that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what will. Well, actually, I do. Keep coming back. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers live and on the road from the Croatian Catholic Center in Sydney, Australia. We'll have more of these in the coming weeks, but also great teachings as he's back in studio as well. So hope you enjoyed it. Hope it's something that if you want to share with your friends or your family, remember not only through EWTN Radio and wherever you like to stream your podcast, you can search for Beacon of Truth and also for our sister podcast called The Soulful Psalms. So find that, share it, like it, and subscribe. And we'll see you next time as we remember to let God define who you are. And I'll see you again. I'm Ace McKay with Beacon of Truth.